This is Charlie Bost reading the Pantagraph for Thursday, October 12th, 2017. I'll start this part one with page A1 with the headline OSF Blue Cross Still in Talks. System insurer at odds over coverage face January 1 deadline. The article is by Paul Swike. Bloomington. Thousands of central Illinoisans could be affected if OSF Healthcare and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois don't resolve their contract dispute by Jan 1. But OSF officials remained optimistic Wednesday there would be a resolution. We are very hopeful that they, Blue Cross Blue Shield, will keep the door open, said Shelley Dankoff, OSF Media Relations Coordinator. We certainly have. We remain optimistic that this will be resolved. It is our hope that BCBS, Blue Cross Blue Shield, will realize the value of having OSF hospitals in its network for its members and enter into a new agreement, said Randy Billings, OSF Senior Vice President of Population Health. Blue Cross Blue Shield spokesman Colleen Miller said Wednesday the insurer wouldn't go beyond its Tuesday statement, which included, "We are open to continuing contract discussions with the goal of reaching an agreement that benefits our members and customers." OSF said Tuesday that OSF Illinois hospitals, including OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, OSF Healthcare St. James John W. Albrecht Medical Center in Pontiac, OSF Healthcare St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria, and OSF Healthcare Children's Hospital of Illinois would no longer participate in the Blue Cross Blue Shield PPO network effective January 1 unless the two organizations can come to a new agreement. Blue Cross Blue Shield is the largest commercial health insurance company in Illinois. The insurer didn't say how many members are OSF patients. BCBS is the largest non-governmental, not including Medicaid and Medicare, payer for the OSF providers, including hospitals, Billings said. Blue Cross members would still be able to access care at OSF hospitals, but would pay out-of-network rates, Dankoff said. Outpatient services at non-hospital OSF facilities, including doctor's offices and clinics, would not be affected by the change, she said. However, inpatient services and in-hospital outpatient services, including rehabilitation, ambulatory surgery, diagnostic testing, audiology, and sleep studies, would be affected, Dankoff said. Out-of-network rates would apply. Retirees with Medicare as their primary coverage and Blue Cross Blue Shield as their supplementary coverage apparently wouldn't be affected, but retirees are urged to check with Blue Cross. Blue Cross Blue Shield is the insurer for all country financial employees and for non-Medicare retirees covered under country's group medical plan, said country spokesman Christopher Stroich. Our group medical provider, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, BCBSIL, notified us their current OSF healthcare contracts will end January 1, 2018, Stroich said. BCBSIL officials have told us it's their intention to renegotiate the OSF contracts, and they hope to do so before the actual termination date of the existing relationships. However, it was necessary under the existing contracts that 90-day notice be given. State Farm spokesman Missy Dundoff said, "It's too early to tell what, if any, impact this will have on our associates' health care needs, as OSF and BCBSIL say they are open to continued negotiations." Individuals who wish to switch health insurance plans for 2018 may do so during open enrollment this fall. OSF's website lists plans in which OSF is participating. Blue Cross says it wants to broaden its members' access to other hospitals, balancing access with affordability. But OSF said, OSF Healthcare has repeatedly stated it would accept a larger network, competing hospitals, but it can't afford to provide BCBSIL the same reduced rates that were in place as part of a smaller network. Blue Cross responded by announcing plans to remove OSF hospitals in Peoria, Rockford, and Galesburg from its network. OSF then terminated its BCBSIL agreements with most of its other hospitals because eliminating the three larger hospitals that provide critical care would reduce OSF's ability to provide a continuum of care, Dankoff said. The second headline on page A1 of the Pantograph today is Campaign Inspires Students. International Day of the Girl Promotes Equality Leadership. The article is by Julia Evelsizer, and there's a picture with this caption. Girls at Epiphany Catholic Junior High School react to a talk by Illinois State University professor Kristen Hotelling-Zona about kindness and opportunity during International Girls' Day on Wednesday. The talk was sponsored by Handshake Consulting. Normal. Tristan Thomas said he hoped his female peers felt inspired after hearing an address Wednesday at Epiphany Junior High School. Some girls out there don't have a voice at all in the world, and they can't really speak for themselves. I think this day is inspiring for them, said Tristan, a sixth grader at Normal School. Wednesday was International Day of the Girl, a day designed to encourage young women and provide opportunity for them to show leadership and reach their full potential. Handshake Consulting, a partnership agency from New York, teamed up with Caterpillar Foundation, Glamour Magazine, and The Girl Project to launch the Future of the Girl campaign. J.R. Kerr is CEO of Handshake and has ties to Bloomington, where he decided to host a smaller scale event mirroring the larger International Day of the Girl celebration taking place in New York City. This day is all about equality. Everyone should know there are women in other parts of the world who are suffering just because they're women. It's really good we're talking about that, said Claire Kerr, also in the sixth grade. We should be thankful because we don't have to deal with the same inequality. We are blessed and we should take advantage of the opportunities we're given to help others. Fellow sixth grader Kojo Adjonum said he is used to talking about the topic because his mom fights for women's civil rights. A long time ago, men did everything and women had the stereotype of working only in the kitchen. It's nice to have a day dedicated to girls, he said. Epiphany Junior High students listened to inspirational stories by Kirsten Hotelling-Zona, an Illinois State University professor, and Katie Keough, the Emmy Award-winning producer of the 24/7 City Secrets. You guys are tough. I know junior high brings more pressure, more homework, and expectations are up. You're figuring out who you are, said Hotelling-Zona. She told a story about a pivotal moment she experienced in sixth grade that caused her to stop bullying and start being kind. I was unhappy and nervous after transferring from a different elementary school. I was concerned about fitting in. Soon I was part of a fake group of friends who weren't very nice, she said. Hotelling-Zona said she started taking her frustrations out on a boy who sat near her on the bus. She would tease him for wearing slippers to school. When the principal found out, he told her the boy wore slippers because his family couldn't afford shoes. I felt horrible. My whole world changed. If I had the capacity to cause someone else such pain, I could make the choice to cause happiness instead, she said. By eighth grade, I was really happy. I was a good friend to myself, which allowed me to be a good friend to others. Keo encouraged the students to identify their passions and aim for a career doing something they loved, no matter the stigma around the job. Aim high, said Keo. That's K-E-O-G-H. Do what gives you joy. Once you figure that out, you'll know what you want to do for the rest of your life. Sixth grader Keelan Anderson said she liked talking about how to figure out our passions. We need to spread the message that women deserve the same opportunities as men, she said. It's good to start caring about this early so we can become more passionate about it as we get older. The students finished the assembly by submitting questions on social media with the hashtag #AskLikeAGirl to be answered by female celebrities and role models. The next headline on today's paper, pantograph is Local Reaction Mixed on Adding Girls to Boy Scouts. It's by Kevin Barlow, Clinton. Ed Cicenas, C-I-C-E-N-A-S, an assistant cubmaster for PAC 142 in Clinton, remembers hosting a Pinewood Derby tournament last year. We held a Powderpuff Derby and ended up having more girl entries than boy entries for the regular tournament, he said of Cub Scouts' tradition of building and racing wooden model cars. Girls already are a part of Boy Scouts of America activities, he said, so he favors the national organization's plans announced Wednesday to admit girls into the Cub Scouts starting next year and to establish a new program for older girls with the same curriculum as the Boy Scouts. It is a controversial decision no matter which way you approach it, he said. It's a natural evolution that is occurring. Pam Kovacevic, the chief executive officer of the Girl Scouts of Central Illinois, based in Springfield, said the BSA has been discussing the plan for a long time as it faces declining numbers, but she thinks girls do best in an all-girl environment. We wish our fellow scouts well in their recruitment endeavors, she said, but we do not believe it is in the best interest of girls to participate in. There is proven research that girls learn better in an all-girl environment. George Clay, scout executive of the W.D. Boyce Council of Boy Scouts of America, based in Peoria, was not available for comment Wednesday. Cicenas noted Cub Scout events already have been a family activity for years. With any of our campouts and our activities, everyone participates, and that means moms and dads and brothers and sisters, and that means the girls, she said. He said, under the plan, Cub Scout dens, the smallest unit, will be single gender, either all boys or all girls. The larger Cub Scout packs will have the option to remain single gender or become both genders. The program for older girls is expected to start in 2019 and will enable girls to earn the coveted rank of Eagle Scout. As part of recruitment events, Cicenas has been to Clinton schools and talked with students about joining Cub Scouts, the program for 7 to 10-year-olds. Girls are always interested, and one of the most frustrating things I have had to do was to tell a girl no just because she was a girl, he said. You almost feel like you are crushing dreams. We also hear that the Girl Scouts don't have the cool activities that the Boy Scouts have. Kovacevic said girls would benefit more from scout programs designed for them. For the curriculum and programming that we deliver, we know that girls get that opportunity to take the lead, to raise their hand first, to mold some of those leadership skills that our curriculum delivers in the all-girl environment. And then they are more likely to practice those skills when they return to the co-ed environment. I don't think it is in the best interest of girls to join the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts say current youth participation is about 2.35 million, down from 2.6 million in 2013, and more than 4 million in peak years of the past. As of March, the Girl Scouts reported more than 1.5 million youth members and 749,000 adult members, down from just over 2 million youth members and about 800,000 adult members in 2014. I understand their numbers are down, and for whatever reason, I don't know why they wouldn't be seeking additional boys to recruit. That is where I would go if I were in their shoes, Kovacevic said. I am sorry their membership levels are down, but we wish them well. And the final article on the front page of the Thursday, October 12th Pantograph is headlined, Hudson Chief Cleared in Probe. The article is by Edith Brady Lunny and Kevin Barlow, and there's a small picture labeled as Chambers. A state police investigation has recommended no official misconduct charges be filed against Hudson Police Chief Dale Sparks for his role in an investigation involving an acquaintance. McLean County State's Attorney Jason Chambers said Wednesday he agreed with the conclusions of the state police report submitted to him last week. The main concern of the allegations was that Hudson investigated a burglary and the suspect, Nick Moreland, has a connection to Chief Sparks, said Chambers. The connection is based on the fact that Sparks' daughter is married to the suspect's stepbrother. Sparks' department investigated Moreland and sought a search warrant relating to an alleged break-in and theft. An October 26 plea hearing is scheduled for the 26-year-old suspect on felony residential burglary charges. Several other accusations leveled against Sparks' handling of the Moreland case also were unsubstantiated by state police, said Chambers. The investigation was mentioned by several local residents at an October 3rd village board meeting, where residents questioned the board about Sparks' firing of a police officer after she informed city officials she was pregnant. Hudson resident Jamie Current turned in a petition of 1,450 electronic signatures asking the board to reconsider the firing of Kaylee Sprout in September. The board did not take any action at that meeting. In March of this year, Officer Sprout reported possible criminal activity to the village president, at the time, Jason Collins. Current said at an October 3rd meeting. The board held a closed session meeting in April to discuss that, but the board decided not to do anything about the chief. Current alleged Sprout's firing was retaliation for her report about the potential misconduct. Collins won re-election as board president in April, but resigned May 3rd, one day after taking the oath of office, and reappointing Sparks as police chief. Collins told the Pantograph he was stepping down for personal reasons. Alan Meissner was then appointed village president. Public officials in small towns are often faced with potential conflicts of interest or even an appearance of a conflict, said Chambers. Not all circumstances of an appearance of a conflict are clear-cut, said the prosecutor. At one point during the Moreland investigation, when Sparks became aware of the official misconduct accusations, the police chief asked McLean Sheriff John Sandage to handle the case. The sheriff said he declined because of the working relationship between the two departments. The state police then were asked to assist with the criminal investigation. The state police investigation into Sparks' conduct spanned several months. Now, from page A3 of today's Pantograph, museum looks to improve ag exhibit. CDM planning future campaign to bring in funds for new display. The article is by Derek by B-E-I-G-H. Normal. After 13 years, the Uptown Children's Discovery Museum is taking steps to improve one of its busiest exhibits. Officials are planning a fundraising campaign to replace the second floor agriculture display in the next 5 years, a $1 million expense, said Executive Director Shelley Berlingmeyer. Exhibits start to look well-loved and need a little bit more love, and the ag area is one of the older exhibits, she said. Ag is such a vital part of our community that we know we'll always want to have that. The campaign remains more than a year off, so many details are undecided, including which other museum elements could get improvement. Berlingmeyer said fundraising could take a couple of years to wrap up. She's unsure if the town, which owns and operates the museum, would contribute tax money to the campaign. The town spent $4.6 million to build the 101 East Beaufort Street facility in 2004 and employs the staff. Berlingmeyer, who took over the museum a year ago this month, is also looking to bring in more traveling exhibits, end the museum's annual shutdown week in early September, and complete a 2018 rebranding to include a new logo and emphasis on the museum's mission of youth education, she told the Pantograph. My idea is to do more cleaning throughout the year rather than closing the doors for an entire week, like touch-up painting on a quarterly basis, she said. That could also include using volunteers to a greater level. Berlingmeyer said the rebranding should remind residents that the museum aims to inspire the love of learning through the power of play. In addition to exhibits, the facility houses special events, drop-off programs for homeschooled students, and day and summer camps. Our target market is 3 months to fifth grade, so we're working to make sure any programs we do target that age, said Berlingmeyer, who's ended events like the museum's 2015 Zombie Fest that had no educational portion. She said adult-focused events could resume if they're educational. Despite that shift, the museum is holding a raffle for a 20-person party on its balcony during next weekend's Illinois State University Homecoming Parade, including a catered breakfast and 4 football tickets valued at $500. Raffle tickets are $25 and can be purchased at the museum through Friday. A far-off goal for the facility is a mobile museum akin to the Bloomington Public Library's Bookmobile, which travels the community, delivering books and other library experiences to residents. In the short term, Berlingmeyer hopes families will enjoy the museum's new layout, which has the Innovation Station for older kids on the first floor with activities for toddlers. We wanted to give older children a chance to engage with younger siblings on the first floor, she said. And sometimes people see relocated exhibits for the first time because they're so used to the same pattern. Next on page A3 of the pantograph is Unit 5 to Expand Learning Options. It's by Julia Evelsizer. Normal. Modern teaching techniques and financial challenges were some of the topics reviewed at McLean County Unit 5's State of the District presentation Wednesday night. The presentation was at Normal Community High School, followed by the regular school board meeting. Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel explained the district's achievements, goals for the future, financial outlook, and student achievement data. In 2007, our graduate rate was 87%, and now we're at 91%. It's an upward trend, but we're not satisfied with that rate. We're looking at alternative education programs and ways to engage our students in real-world activities to keep them on the track to receive a diploma, said Daniel. Over the last year, the district has implemented virtual classrooms, increased community partnerships, and created an opportunity for high school students to earn an associate's degree through Heartland Community College. For the next generation of students, we expect to offer more STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, related activities, and more collaboration by bringing the real world into the classroom. Things will become less and less restrictive in terms of opportunities, said Daniel. Daniel said the district also is working to diversify its staff. 30% of our student body is different than me. Those students need to see a model they can relate to, and we're working very hard to do that, he said. Daniel said factors beyond the district's control have resulted in a structural deficit of $1.2 million for Unit 5. They include the state budget impasse, economic recession, and not seeing an increase in general state aid since 2010. It's all been part of the perfect storm, he said. Because of that, we have to figure out how we'll maintain the programs and achievements discussed tonight. Daniel also noted that Unit 5 was recently named by Box Clever Education as one of the top 10 school districts in America for its use of social media. The district is launching a new website designed this week. At the subsequent school board meeting, James Harden, Executive Director of Human Resources and Student Services, presented an enrollment report that showed a 1% decrease in students compared to last school year. 22% of classes are under the class size range we're looking for, almost 69% are spot on, and nearly 10% are over, said Harden. The main question is how will that impact staffing and programs at schools in future years? We have to use this as trend data to make sure we're staging classes appropriately in the future and identifying specific needs of the staff. And that concludes my reading of part one of today's pantograph, Thursday, October 12th, 2017. This is Charlie Boast signing off.